All right, everybody. I want to thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited just to join you guys again for another moment to move forward in this path of servant leadership. You know, I'm super excited about this episode today because as we even talked before we got on, this is not someone new to the servant leader family. They have already blessed us once. I told him before we got on, he blesses me daily just simply by serving and not being afraid or ashamed to just speak the word of the Lord as it's been given to him. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the torch to servant leader Coach Kirk Hines. He is a husband. He's a father. He is a coach, but more than anything, he's a man of God. And he has allowed his assignment from God to move to a publication that I know is going to help us as leaders. So, Coach, I want to thank you first for your time. Time is that one thing in life that once it's given, we can't give it back. And so it's so precious. So I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. And we're going to get this conversation started today.
Amen, Coach. It is a blessing to see your smile again. There's something magical about you, truly. And I know what it is. It's God working through you, but you have a light and a passion that is just palpable. So I am so thrilled to be connected with you again. I am going to add one thing to the intro.
Let's get it.
You went from husband to father. Uh-huh. I'm a grandfather also. I've got two grands.
Let's go. Listen, that alone, grandparents have a front row seat in heaven. So I got to have that in there. Thank you for adding that.
Absolutely. No, it's a blessing to be back as we talked a little bit offline. I'm still in summer mode. I went to school today to get some things set up, but I've got another 3 weeks or so, but in full football mode and just loving life. I spoke to a gentleman earlier today, and I had shared with him that truthfully 95% of my family and friends make more money than I do, but I feel like one of the richest people alive, just because, as I know, I'm preaching to the choir and probably the great majority of your audience, but when you're blessed to do what you love, it's not taken lightly or taken for granted. So it's an honor to be here with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And yes, I was saying the same. I looked at my email and I'm like, wait a minute. No. Don't start sending these work emails. The administration has started sending things. And so, you know, that summertime is winding up. So, But yes, for sure. You know, so for some that, you know, are newer to the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study, why don't you give them a little background of just kind of what you do, how you got into coaching, what you're currently doing, and we'll kind of get the ball rolling from there.
Yeah, I do is I try to bless, serve, and empower as many people as I can daily. And God has blessed me. There's a book, I'm not sure if you've read, and I don't remember the author's name, shame on me, but called The Prayer of Jabez.
Yes. Yes.
And I love that book. You know, and I'm paraphrasing for your listeners, but there's a part of that book where it says, God, enlarge my territories. Mm-hmm. And when Jabez prayed that, it was looked upon as selfish and just self-absorbed. And it's nothing close to that. It's just enlarge my territory so I can reach more people for your glory. Yeah. And I've been teaching elementary school going on my 30th year now. I've always taught first through fourth grade. Going nice. On my 27th year of coaching high school football, for many of those years back in New Hampshire, where my wife and I first raised our family. And then we moved out here to San Diego 10 years ago when we had our first grandson. Mm-hmm. So I'm just loving life. We'll get into this, as you mentioned, a little bit later, but just about 48 hours ago, I had my first book published and it's available. So that's been a whole journey in itself of just trusting God and not letting my imposter syndrome take over, you know, what so many of us are doing in life. I think the devil works hard, you know this as well as I do, but if you want to live an easy life, don't follow Christ. I'm not saying it's going to be fulfilling. I'm not saying it's going to be fun or worth it. But if you want to live a life where the devil's going to be bothered that you wake up every day, follow Christ. And there's going to be temptation and doubt and fear and all these things, but God is so good. And God has blessed me in greater ways than I could have ever imagined. And my goal each day is to try to live in a way that glorifies him, because as we mentioned, you know, life is short.
Yeah.
We don't know if I'm going to be coaching for another 40 years or if this is my last year and whatever right. God has in store for me. But I don't ever want to let a day pass where I didn't try to serve someone else and bless someone else. And as teachers and coaches, man, if we don't let our ego get in the way, we have that opportunity each and every day to do just that.
That's facts, man. And let me tell you, my heart just beats. Like you know this, you talk to people and you talk to your people. So the people that are in the trenches and get it. And just, you said a few things even prior to that, like one, 95% of people in our lives make way more than we do. However, you know, until you hear, I teach for the aha moments. Right. There's moments when I hear like, oh, and that just does something to me. Right. When I have a young lady who will be signing her letter of intent next week. And that just does something to me because I know that God has placed me in his path. And so when I hear you speak about, you know, just everything that you do in the classroom and, you know, on the field and just in your day to day, it just makes my heart just grow because I know what it looks like to walk in purpose and I know what it feels like to walk in purpose. So to see it on someone and just illuminate, it just does something to me for sure.
it's such a blessing. I apologize. I'm going to get up for a second and close my window because
you're good. One of my
neighbors is cutting something. let me just lean over here. My wife and I just moved 2 weeks ago. Actually, I say that now. It's been about a month ago. We moved. We were renting a place for 10 years and then landlords were moving someone else in for a lot more money. And we ended up finding a place just 2 miles down the road.
Yeah, so, yeah. Absolutely. All good, man. I love it. I love it. Now, call to empower. You know, I think it's the social media algorithm. I surely do. I think because I'll go from seeing someone's post all the time to then there's a gaping hole in between the next time that I see that they post something. So I know it wasn't by happenstance, and I am looking that you have now authored a publication for leaders, and it is titled Call to Empower. And when I looked at it, it's like the power of why. That is so huge, right? Because you mentioned something earlier about imposter syndrome, right? And so as a leader, there's so many angles I can go with this, but I want to just start with, how did this publication come across? I know that you move by God's design. So talk to us about that unraveling, because I just got to know.
Yeah, you know, I have to give credit to obviously God and all things, but it was really Twitter where for years I would put a post out there, whether it be a regular tweet or a video, and people would send me private messages or write on my post like, hey, when's your book coming out? And I had never mentioned or thought about writing a book. And as soon as that happened, I took it as a compliment. I thought it was very nice, but I didn't really give it any serious thought. And then I just received more and more people asking, you know, hey, are you going to write a book? And then that's when the imposter syndrome started. And the thing I have a love-hate relationship with the imposter syndrome because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Inky Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love him.
I haven't met the man yet. I hope I do someday. I'm a big fan. Just what he's faced in his life. He was a Division I football player slated for the NFL. Now, the reason I say, and he's such a profound speaker and heart and everything about the man I love, I was a Division III college football player in New Hampshire, not slated for it, D1, let alone the NFL. So when I started to have family and friends say, hey, you should write a book, that's when Satan started to work on me, Chelsea, and really just have those self-defeating thoughts of who am I? Now, I know I'm a child of God. I know who I am and whose I am. Mm-hmm. And I hate that I'm saying, but Satan creeps into that often when we're trying to do God's work, and we'll plant those seeds of doubt and inferiority and insecurity and, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is that each of us battle with. Mm-hmm. So I started the book about 2.5 years ago. And really what the book is, I the best way I can describe it, is a personal growth book of empowerment. And what I did was I took not even my most popular tweets, not the ones that necessarily went viral, some of them are, but the ones that just resonated and spoke to me. And each chapter has that original tweet. And then from there, what I do is I dive deeper into the story behind it. Like, what was on my heart in that moment? What's the story behind the young man or young woman I was coaching or teaching, or the passing of my father, and all these different things that each of us go through in life. And then my wife's idea, I have to give credit here, was at the end of every chapter, once I dove deeper into what the tweet was and the meaning, what I have is what I call a timeout, which we all face in all sports. Mm-hmm. And And timeouts are beautiful. I think as a coach, you have a chance to reflect, get your team to calm down a little bit, or just keep us, keep us doing what we're doing, whatever the reason is. And in my book, the timeout has a personal growth reflection question for each of the readers to say, all right, how does this apply to your life? How can you help this to bless and serve and empower people more in your walk of life and in what we do? Because as you and I know, I think most of our family and friends, the ones that make more money than us, also say to us in the same breath, man, I wish I could do what you do.
And
I don't say this in a derogatory way, but I have said to several friends and family members, you can't. That beach house, you have to give up that. not always do we have to give things up, but it comes with a sacrifice. It comes with a price. And I was asked about a week or two ago by an individual, he had said, coach, you're always pouring to others, but what fills your cup? Mm-hmm. And I know this is going to resonate with you, coach, because this is, I feel like we're cut from the same cloth. Mm-hmm. This fills my cup, pouring into others, having a player that didn't believe in themselves, having an individual that just didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel or whatever it was that they were going through in life, being able to pour into them, that lights my fire. That fills me up. So the book has been a longer process than it had to have been. And shame on me, because I listen more to those self-doubting imposter syndrome thoughts than I did to God. But I really get to the point where with my tweets, and I'm not proud of this, but I would often take my phone, do a little selfie video, and then before I posted it, not proud of this at all, I would think to myself, how many likes will this get? How many retweets will it get? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what I've matured to by the grace of God is, if God places a thought on my heart, I don't need to worry about who sees it or how many people see it. I'm going to put it out there, put it into the world, and God will do his part. And that's my prayer for the book. I pray that everyone that gets a copy of it will be empowered to live a life that is inspiring to not only themselves, first and foremost, but to everyone in their circle and beyond.
I love that. There's so much to unpack in that. And you're right. We're cut from the same cloth. So I'm sitting here like a proud sister for sure, because it's one of those things, all that you said in there, same thing. Many people, girl, when are you going to stop playing and do that book? Why are you, tarrying, as my grandmother would say? But just more than anything, a lot of times people say, hey, you guys work so hard, you do this, you might want to reconsider. That seems like a lot what you're doing. But when you're pouring into people, you're pouring into those young men and young women, it does fill you in a totally different way that you really can't explain unless you're in it. And so I get where you're coming from. And I'm so glad that you overcame the work of the enemy to truly put it out there, because I, for one, am one of those individuals who I don't really, because the tweet is so powerful, I don't know if I've ever taken a look at how many likes or things that it has gotten. But what I do know is that when I see you post, I'm immediately drawn like, okay, what is he saying? Because I know it's going to feel me. And that is a blessing in and of itself, and how as a kind of mirror moment, as I call it, that you're doing the work of the Lord, that individuals kind of seek out you because they know that you're guided by God, and what you have to say is our bread to feed on, to keep leading.
That means a lot from you, truly coming from you, coach. It's a beautiful thing, because I think for all of us, life is a series of peaks and valleys. Internally, externally, emotionally, mentally, physically. And I think so often in life, we focus so much on the winning in life that we don't understand that the losing and all those challenging times, that's really what makes us who we are. And we can embrace that and say, all right, God, one of the best things I've ever heard, and this is not my own, I heard in church a while ago, said that all Christians are bad at math. I remember sitting there.
I like it.
Been my strong point. So I was like, all right, I know I'm bad at math, but he went on to say, and I was so guilty of this, I still am from time to time, when we're presented with a challenge in life or an opportunity in life or whatever it is, we look at, okay, what are my strengths? What are my resources? What is my experience? What is my? And at the end, let me go to God and pray in this. No, God plus nothing is everything.
Come on.
God plus nothing. We've got to do our part. I've heard the quote before that says, God will move mountains in your life, but don't be surprised if he gives you a pick and a shovel. In my translation of that is,
I like that.
We got to get our hands dirty. You know, yeah. I'm not a believer that, hey, I'm out of shape. I need to get healthy. All right, God, do your work. And me just still sitting in this chair. Facts. It's, all right, hey, God, yeah. Help me work through these challenging workouts. Help me get up earlier in the morning. Help me do this. But we've got to get our hands dirty. So as far as the math part, I think when we do trust God and say, God, here I am, literally, yeah. Here is my life. Use me. And then we have to, and this is what took me a while, boldly walk through the doors that he opens. Because we know it all, but because we know our God knows it all, and just have a confidence in that.
You know, so I'm a very visual person when we speak about learning. I'm okay with math, but I love that analogy that minister gave because it was so big, right? But I'm a huge imagery person as well, and it helps me to really watch how God unfolds in my life. And so as you mentioned, learning to be bold to walk through the doors that God opens for us. Sometimes we miss those doors, right? Like either A, because this door maybe doesn't seem as fancy, or when he opens the door, maybe I have a peek through and I don't understand it. When I cross the threshold, am I able? You know, and that also comes back to that math part, right? I'm still calculating in my own strength. You know, I'll open the door sometimes when my daughter gets home or we're leaving, and sometimes, you know, she'll do these little steps like of uncertainty. And I'm like, come on, you know, it's okay. Yeah. And, you know, she'll kind of look like, I don't know about that. But you know what happens when I allow myself to walk through first, and I know that I've gone through first, her strength or the fear lessens because she knows who goes before us through that door. And so that imagery came as you mentioned that, because when God opens that door, it's trusted, right? We just, you said it best, have to have the bold faith to know that he's opened it and I just have to walk in it. And when he mentioned that we can't do math, I love that, because I think more than anything, we also, I want to go here, we forget what he's done in the past. Isn't it crazy? Like we are in a current present situation or battle or struggle. And it's like, so we've quickly gotten an amnesia about the battle he won previously because we're in another battle. And so I love that. That helps truly. I'm gonna have to stash that one away for sure.
And on that point, Coach, I think how often do I think all of us say to our players, trust the process. Yeah. Just trust us. And we're imperfect beings, always have been, always will be. I can only imagine that sometimes God looks down upon me, not sometimes, often, with a smile, I would like to think, and just goes, Kurt, practice what you preach. Trust me. You know, God, I had the blessing a few years ago to officiate one of our daughter's weddings with her husband, and tied football into it, obviously, but talked about how, you know, as players, sometimes you feel like the quarterback, sometimes you feel like the lineman doing all the grunt work, not getting the praise, that you, as in a relationship, you have to be willing to take on whatever role is needed at that time. Mm-hmm. And I said, our players need to trust the head coach. In marriage, I remember asking my daughter and Jeremy, her husband, you know, who's the head coach? And Jeremy, young black man, raised a twin brother by a single mom in Cleveland, Kathy Allen, I'm going to give her a shout out. She's phenomenal.
I love that.
Oh, such a breath of life. Jeremy, my son-in-law, has such a strong testimony. And I remember looking at him when I was officiating, saying, who's the head coach in your marriage? And he kind of looked like he didn't know if the answer was supposed to be him or not. And I said, it's neither of you, it's God. You know, and the playbook's been written. The playbook's the Bible. You know, and if we can continue to trust the process and trust our head coach in life, there will be losses. There will be times we lose a game or lose a loved one or lose a job or fill in the blank. But God is good in all things, and he's going to work through us and in us and with us to do beautiful things.
That's so good. And I'm going to tell you, you'll have to kind of, maybe when you're traveling, you know, in the next few days, Dr. Paula Maddox, she was a longtime government worker, now turned leadership coach. And she recently wrote a book and was on one of the last episodes. And we talked just about that. I told her in my early years of coaching, individuals said, you know, it's going to take you a long time to win. And that's not a bad thing. It's just you want to do all the things. You want them to be coach the person and the game. And I never understood why that was even said. I'm like, I have no problem with that. Like, but here's the thing. I need you to understand that that is all a part of my playbook. And I would always lift up my Bible. I said, see, the difference between you and I, you can't dictate what success is, and two, when we will get the quote unquote wins and losses, because you're not the coach of my life. See, I'm the assistant coach. They put the name on the roster as I'm the head coach, but I move by how God tells me to move. Amen. And so while you using this X's and O's, which is fine because we need them, I'm using this playbook to help steer my X's and O's. We're not the same.
Let's go. That's awesome.
So, you know, and so when you said that, that just resonated to me. And I love how you apply that over into marriage, because so many of us, you know, as coaches and leaders, that also needs to be understood. And I love that, right? Sometimes you have to be. I was watching, and shout out to Peyton Manning and that whole production company. Have you seen Receivers yet? I know you probably have. Quarterback of Receivers. Have you watched it? Okay.
No.
So if you watch Quarterbacks, and if you haven't, got to watch that one first. But so Receivers is the second like addition. And so Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deebo Samuels, and George Kittle. Those were the main ones. And it was phenomenal. But one of the things I love, which a lot of faith-based just things in there, which was awesome. But one of the things that they talked about all the time was just, one, not only trusting the process, but watching how they shift gears here and there. And one of the things that Davante Adams, it was one of the games, and he was like, look, it was when they fired their coach and the interim came in, and he went from having 200 something yards, two touchdowns. So he was like, you know, I only had a few catches, but I didn't care because I knew my role was different. And at the end of the day, the goal is to win. And it threw me because it was like, yes, I know this is football, right? I know this is sports, but you just explained exactly, as servant leaders and as Christ followers, whatever room we find ourselves in, we're there to do the ultimate goal of what Christ asked us to do so that everyone gets the ultimate win. And that is huge. That is big. I'm throwing it in my bag. It went in my pocket.
I love it. And you said something, Coach, and I don't remember what exactly it was, but it brought my heart back to, you know, winning's everything.
Yeah.
And I remember when I said this one time, I shared it in a video several years back. It's how we define winning.
Come on.
Winning for me is not about the scoreboard. Now, yes, I have to know my trade. We have to know how to coach the positions we coach. We need to know our playbook. We need to know the X's and O's, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Because that is important for those young men and young women that dedicate so much time. They want to compete to win. Correct. But for me, when I say winning is everything, if I can win the hearts of the young women I'm blessed to coach, if I can win their hearts, that's going to allow them to be successful on the field or court or rink, mat, whatever it is. But, and once again, I know you know this, I want their success, this to be a foundation. Yes. So when they graduate, whether they play at the next level or not, that they're winning through life because of things that we taught them, challenges we walked them through, experiences we had together. If we can win their hearts, then there's no greater calling.
Listen, I am like my heart. I wish you could see it because yes, right? Like everybody doesn't get that when I say it, but it is totally me. That is my walk as a coach. I've been coaching since 2009. And when I say that, it's like, yeah, right. And only a few people understand where I'm coming from. Even people that have coached with me, and they're like, I get it. But yeah, that's just not where I am. I'm ready to get it. So I'm going to go, you know, coach elsewhere, which is fine, right? Do you. But I know what I have to do in order to be pleasing and hear servant well done. I teach AP Environmental Science, and staying on wind just for a few more moments. I always start with it's a rather old article now, a publication known as Tragedy of the Commons. Okay. And it just speaks about the things that we as humans do and how we move in a scenario in the environment that causes detriment. Right. And so it's just broken down into different things. But one of the main things it talks about is the definition of winning. And he uses an equation about the game of tic-tac-toe. He says, okay, so I could win by the sake of, you know, eliminating my opponent by maybe knocking him over the head, right? So he now can't play, so I won, right? And it sounds rather extreme, but I'm with you, and I always start there, and I carry it over to my players. And I tell them, I said, you know, guys, I want to win. Yeah, right? It feels good to win. I said, but at what cost? I have no programs to go undefeated. And then when it got time for graduation, you had half of the team not graduating. That's not winning, right? I said, however, when I see you all walk across the stage, because under my tenure, we've had 100% graduation rate, that's winning, right? When some of you all choose, because I don't make you go to church because you've heard what I said, or you come and attend FCA and you raise your hand and say, I want to give my life to Christ, that's winning. And by and large, you're absolutely right. Winning does matter, right? Brittany Ezell, are you familiar with her?
No.
She's a servant leader, Dr. Brittany Ezell, Coach Brittany Ezell, long time, amazing athlete, D1 athlete, amazing D1 coach. She's now doing her thing in Tennessee, you know, in some executive roles or whatever, but she's a mentor of mine. And she says this, so many gems that she'll drop just in 10 minutes of you talking to her. I have to connect y'all. But I remember on a podcast, she said this to me. She says, Chelsea, and she said it to me just in our normal conversation. So I know that's how she walks. She says, Chelsea, I don't want my resume to define me. I'm eulogy living. Yeah. She said, and when I get to God, I want to be down on my knees like it's been an overtime and I'm tired. Like, we've all been athletes and we know that, where it's like the coach is like, can you give me a few minutes? And you really can't, but you don't want to say no and you're gassed. Yep. And she said, that's how I want to be before God when I stand before him, when he's looking at me and he can tell that I've exhausted everything before I met him. And when I think about winning, when I think about servant leadership, when I think about us in this roles as Christ is just saying, this is what I need you to do, that's what winning is for me. Like, I don't want to be there with things left. I want to be empty when I get there.
And I'm going to, just one thought came to mind on the topic of winning. Once again, you mentioned about, you know, your playbook, the one you go by, the Bible, and everyone else's. If you look at the greatest coach, the greatest leader, the greatest of all time, our Savior Jesus Christ, in the world's eyes, he was defeated. World's eyes, he lost. In the world's eyes, you know, it's just he was laughed at, he was mocked, he was beaten and crucified, but he's the ultimate winner. And if we can have just a fraction of that dedication in life to serving others and living in a way that glorifies our Father, I mean, come on, that's what it's all about.
All of what it's about. Man, I told you, if you imagine y'all, when I read something, how it gets me pumped up, I'm sitting here talking to them. So I think by now you guys kind of get what I mean about this servant leader. You know, you mentioned a lot of things and kind of what I keep hearing, empowering and talking about the book, right? Empowering is a word that is just the root of the word, powerful, right? As servant leaders and Christ followers and being on assignment, I want to talk a little bit about how important, right? Everybody can say they're a leader. Right. I tell people all the time, I don't care if somebody gave you a title. Leadership, servant leadership is the action word. Right. Take a few minutes and talk to us about the importance of empowering those, you know, around us, rather it be those that we teach, coach, peer in our marriage. Right. As a parent, as a grandpa, what do they call you?
Papa.
They call you Papa. Right. Yeah, as a Papa. But just talk about the significance and importance of empowerment as a servant leader.
Yeah, I love that question. For me, whenever I hear the word empowerment, especially in the past 10, 15 years, there's another E word that comes to mind, and it's enablement. It's enabling. And I think way too many parents with the best of intentions think they are gifting or blessing or serving or empowering their students or their children rather, but they're enabling them by bubble wrapping them and not letting them fail and not letting them go through hard times and contacting the coach when they're not starting or whatever it may be. I think it's the best of intentions. And as yourself, as a new mother of a two-year-old and any of us that have ever had children and blessed with that opportunity, we understand that it's I believe being a parent is the greatest and most challenging thing we'll ever do. It's like having your heart ripped out and having little legs put on it, and God's like, just watch. And you
that's
see
good.
Doing great things, and you're like, oh, wait, that's too high. No, no, no. And then you fall, and it's just a roller coaster of emotions. For me, empowerment is pouring into an individual's heart, not just their mind, that's important, but pouring into their heart and leaving a gift with them that is going to far outlive their playing time with us and maybe, and hopefully, even our lives. You know, I've often said that, you know, if my players, when they think back about the playing for me, or whether it's a year after graduating, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, if all I did was help them become better athletes, then I failed them miserably. And I want them to know that as passionate as I am about the game of football, I am far more passionate about empowering others. And as you mentioned, Coach, that it's a verb. You know, empowerment, leadership is a verb. And I think way too many people in society think leadership is, hey, you are given a title. It's on your door. It's on your desk. It's on your email.
Yes.
And then you can just sit back and your job is done. You're the leader. And I just laugh at that because I think, no, leadership is a title. It's a blessing. It's a privilege, but it's a verb. Once we have that title of coach, teacher, mom, dad, papa, whatever it is, we're going to get our hands dirty. That's when we're going to roll up our sleeves and say, yes. Okay, God, let's move these mountains. And what tools have you given me? And when I'm standing at the foot of a mountain looking up going, God, I can't even imagine that peak. Just saying, hey, take that first step or move
That's
that
right.
first step or whatever it is. You know, empowering others for me is, I'm an optimist to the core, you know, sometimes my wife is my best friend. As I mentioned, we've been married for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I love spending time with her and we're blessed to spend a ton of time together. Sometimes she's like, well, yeah, but you're always so optimistic. And I always jokingly say, but I'm like, Jill, it hasn't failed me yet. It hasn't failed me yet. But I think the days that have been the darkest days for me, the days where I've been down the most and just not feeling it, sometimes you just have off days. Those are the days I'm not serving others. And I had a moment, let's call it 4 years ago now, where I was in a rut. My wife and I had gone to church on Sunday, came back, had the whole day wide open, which should have been nothing but joy and a blessing. And I was just in my own headspace. And I remember Jill looking at me, we were in the kitchen, and she said, "You're right." I'm like, "I'm not." She's like, "What is it?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just don't know. I'm gonna go lay down. I'm gonna make myself sound old now. I'm gonna go lay down for a nap." So I went to lay down after about 20 minutes of realizing I wasn't gonna sleep. I got back, you know, put my sneakers on, got dressed, and I said, "Jill, I'm just gonna go for a walk." And the way God worked in my life, Chelsea, was phenomenal. I walked probably 100 yards of that. Turned the corner and there were two elderly women standing in the back of, I believe it was an Isuzu Trooper truck, and kind of like looking and pondering something. So as I was walking past them, I just smiled and said hello. And there was this big pot that they were trying to figure out, how do we get this out into our backyard? Mm-hmm. So I asked them, and I never met them. I said, "Do you mind if I help you for a second?" They're like, "Oh, please." It probably took me 5 minutes max. Placed it where they wanted. They said, "Thank you so much." They wanted to pay me a few dollars. I said, "Please don't." And then I walked away and instantly I just felt it. And I remember looking up like, "God, you are so good." It was just, it wasn't what I did. It was just, I had to get out of my own headspace. So going full circle, for me, empowering is just going out there and looking for opportunities. I'm not a basketball player. Every time I play basketball, I either sprain my ankle or say words I shouldn't say, and I'm not proud of it. So I'm not going to use a basketball analogy, but in football, we always tell our players, have your head on a swivel. You're going to look for that crack block. You're going to look for your teammates, what's going around you. Don't have that tunnel vision. I think God probably says the same thing to us often in life of, hey, have your head on a swivel. You know, stop worrying about what you have to do. Yeah, I think so often we're told people, hey, just worry what you have to do. But how can you serve others? Because I think when we start looking for opportunities, God will overwhelm us with opportunities to bless others.
I love that. I love that. And like I told you, me and imagery, like I just see that. I see you walking. I see you seeing them. I see their faces when they see you. I see the divine order. I see, you know how you watch those movies and, you know, it flashes back and foreshadows. And, you know, of course, naturally, as one watching the movie, we see it. But the people in the movie, they don't see it. And I love that because that's how God works. And as you're telling that, it's just a reminder of God's grace. And as you said earlier in the conversation, you know, God looks down at you and it's like, you know, Kurt, come on now, you know, I have you, like, why are you, you know, and I said all the time, like I'll look up randomly sometimes and my girls will finally know, but I'm like, I got you. You're right. And I'll just move on. And they'll be like, who are you talking to? But you know, the scene is just like, she does that. It's okay. But it's really those moments where I'm like, I'm tripping. I know it's, you're right, my bad. And so in that whole thing, I love how God intentionally parents, right? And I say that often. I love to describe him like that. He intentionally parents. And what I mean by that is he's my father and he's your father, but he knew how to get to you. Yeah. My mom used to always say it was four of us. And she said, it's not favoritism. I can't parent you how I parent your brother. I can't talk to you how I talk to your sister. And I love how God intentionally knows how to move things around in our day to day that we don't even see coming. And then immediately when we see it, it's like, you're right. I was tripping.
Exactly.
My bad.
Have you heard the song Coach? I believe it's titled Yet by Maverick City Music.
Yes.
Oh, love that. Jeremy, my son-in-law, was talking one time. He calls me Coach. He's like, Coach, have you heard? And he and I share worship music with each other all the time.
I love that.
And he's like, have you heard that song? I'm like, oh, I love it. He goes, you do. I'm like, I'm shocked you don't. Like, well, you know what? He's like, well, because God never gives up on us. I said, Jeremy, I said, you got to go back and listen to the song again. Because I, and this is just my artistic take on the song, being not the creator, obviously, of the song. But towards the end of the song, it talks about how God never gives up on us. I think sometimes we limit ourselves because we treat God the way we treat our children. And we're imperfect parents. And we know when our children, before they could speak, when they look up and just do this, we know what they want. They want us to pick them up, but we want to hear them say it.
Use your words.
Right. And I feel like God's the same way. He's like, listen, before you even have it on your heart, I know what you need. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're afraid of. I know what you're excited about, but he wants to hear us come to him in prayer. Yeah. And I think as servant leaders for any of, or all of your audience that's listening, if we can wake up in the morning and say, God, use me, God, and mean it and be ready.
Yeah.
Because God will use us.
He can use you.
And it's not always the fairy tale movie scene of God, you know, us pouring into a player has great character and is a great athlete. Sometimes it's that quirky athlete that doesn't know how to tie their cleats or sneakers just yet and has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder that shouldn't be there. And then when we choose not to give up on them and pour into them, that's when God says, you asked for it. Now go do my work.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny because as soon as you say that, like, that's Hendrix, right? My daughter's name is Hendrix. And I'm like, what do you want? Use your words, right? You know, I mean, because you know how to say it. But I love this because even in this moment, she goes, I pick you up. Like, she didn't say pick me up. So we're like reversing that. We're like, I pick you up. But you know what's so amazing in that? It's one of those things, even translated again to God's goodness. Like, when I pick her up, all of those things of the day, right? It's like, I'm helping her because that's what she asked for. But truly, she's helping me because when I pick that little thing up, I'm telling you, it just truly erases everything that maybe was on my mind or frustrated me, even if frustration was towards what she did, you know? Yep. And I think that's how God, like you said, is. It's just, I know what you need, right? And it's not a boasting. It's that I need you to be mindful enough to ask so that you build your own faith muscle to know that I'll come through. No person or child is going to develop, you know, being gracious and being thankful if you just hand them everything.
Right.
We don't learn anything by that. Right. But I know that my greatest, you know, I don't like when people coach say things like, you know, he does something miraculous. It's like, oh, that's big God. You know, so that I hear people, okay, big God, I see you. And I'm like, he's big when he woke me up.
Yes.
That was big, right? Like, we take those things for granted. Like, that's what he was supposed to do. I joke with my husband all the time. Hendrix will, if it's French fries or things, you know, we always like, no, say your grace. And she'll say hello, grace, right? But you know, like when we're riding, you maybe get fast food. It's nothing to stick your hand in a bag, get a few fries, right? You don't say your grace all the time, right? Because it's just, oh, I just got a few fries. And so I joke all the time. It's like, you know, there's a few food items that kind of can pass the grace moment, right? And we laugh and joke. And of course, I'm not serious about that. But I feel like that's how we do a lot of blessings that God gives. It's like, oh, well, that, you know, those are the ones that's just supposed to happen. So, you know, that's an expectation I can have. No, it's not. Because some people didn't wake up this morning, right? Yeah. Driving from A to B and making it safely is something we take for granted because it's something mundane that I do, that I drive from here. And even Apple will say, hey, it's going to take you 12 minutes to get to work, right? It's so automatic that I assume that it's not the same as, oh, he healed me. No, it's the same thing. And it's a big God then, and it's a big God now. And I love that you put that way.
Well, I also, there's two thoughts. One, I love when you mentioned Hendrix. By the way, is she named after the great Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
I love it.
How about she's a lefty, Kurt?
No way.
Yes.
That's outstanding.
It's crazy, right?
That's outstanding. You can buy her a guitar.
She has one.
You know, when she says, I lift you up, you know, I think most parents would think, or she's not speaking proper English. You know, she wants me to say, will you lift me up? But mm-hmm. like you said, when you lift her up, she is lifting you up because she's erasing all those anxieties, right. fears, and stresses. And I had another thought, but I just forgot it because I love
it's
that.
It's okay.
You know, and, and that's our job. If we can go through life lifting up others and know that when we lift them up, they're lifting us up. We're all going to where God has created us to be.
And I think that that's why he made it that way when we follow him properly, right? Yeah. Like, he already knows why, even when I ran from education. Now, Kirk, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. He knew why he wanted me here. Like, he knew I was supposed to be here. He knew that what I saw from the outside looking in, it wasn't the same as being immersed. You know, he knew that this is, like you said, even though, you know, hard task on some days and, you know, not something that everyone can do, he knew that it was where I needed to be for fulfillment. And that's why I serve, you know. And I actually was asked by one of my administrators the other day if I could do something. And I said, such a pleasure to serve. And it's funny because that has now become automatic to me because that's how I take it. You know, I hear people say often, I don't have to, I get to. And so for me, it's, I get to serve. That's not, that's a privilege. That's not like, I got to get up. No, I get to serve. He chose me. Yes. And that alone just fills my cup.
It reminds me, Coach, for maybe better part of 3 or 4 years now, and I don't know why. I don't know how it started to come to my heart. But when people say, hey, how are you? Or how's it going? My answer is just blessed. You're mm-hmm. blessed. And I'm amazed at how many times that'll stop someone literally in their tracks and go, that's a great answer. Or mm-hmm. someone else, why are you blessed? And I'm like, I'm on the right side of the dirt. Like, some people didn't wake up this morning.
That's
you know?
Right.
And there's right. a track athlete that often runs. She's Olympic, or training for the Olympics now, at our football field around our track at Coronado. And one time I was like, hey, how are you, Coach? Because she helps out some of the high school kids. And she goes, I'm great, Coach. How are you? I said, I'm blessed. And right away she stops. She goes, oh, you're a man of God. I said, absolutely.
That's right.
Our words have power. Our words have power. And I think as coaches, as parents, as teachers, we need to make sure that empowering others is all-encompassing. It's our actions. It's how we smile at them. It's how we discipline them when we love them. I learned years ago when my children were younger to eliminate the word but. Mm-hmm. from my vocabulary when I was disciplining them, you know, just say, hey, so-and-so, you did this wrong, you did that, you know, I love you, but, well, that takes away the whole beginning part of what I said. Now it's, and I love you. And because I love you, there are consequences to your action. There are consequences, whatever it is. And I feel like we could go on and on and on for hours. It's just,
I like that. I know. Why do you think, I tell you, and listeners, you're seeing that for yourself. It's just, There's a blessing in and of itself to be able to speak to someone who can feel you, and hopefully that is reciprocal, right? And that's why it's just a blessing. You know, I'm hearing you speak about, you know, your children, and I'm hearing you speak about just your day-to-day, right? But we all know, even kind of you mentioned earlier, that, you know, those days come where maybe we are in a funk, right? Sometimes we may even be able to pinpoint why, right? Sometimes even though we get to serve, our shoulders, right? They have a limit, you know? And sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, what else? Can you talk to the servant leader for a moment just about how it's important. We talk about feeling each other's, but how it's important to sharpen the iron of others, but also ensure that even though iron sharpens iron, we have to refill our cups in a spiritual way. Talk to us a little bit how, when you empower others, how are you utilizing your spiritual strength? What are those things that you do? I know you work out. So what are those things to help your spiritual fitness to ensure that you are on F and not E to continue to work and serve?
Yeah, great question. For me, it is two things come to mind automatically, prayer and worship music. My wife and I have been, we have been, as I mentioned, 3 times now, married for over 30 years, just celebrated our 30th anniversary on June 4th. Every morning and every night for over 30 years. And that is something that the more people I talk to, one of my best friends out here, I won't mention his name, but just such a man of God, just loves people, loves life, is such a giver, servant leader through and through. he and I were talking one time. I almost mentioned his wife's name. They'll know when they listen to this, who I'm talking about. But I asked him, do you pray with your wife all the time? And obviously I mentioned her name. And he goes, well, sometimes, yeah, sometimes. And he goes, I pray every day though. I said, what's the most important thing in your life? He goes, well, of course, my family. I said, why wouldn't you pray with her every day? So we joked about it for about a year. But one time he mentioned, he's like, yeah, you're always bothering me about that. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to keep bothering you about that. And then they called me. We see each other probably once or twice, maybe three times a month. Really good friends of us. We go vacation with them. And they FaceTime my Jill and I, and they said, hey, we have something to tell you, some big news. I was like, what's going on? And they said, we've been praying together now for a month nonstop. And they've been doing it now since January 1st. Since January 1st. And I love that. So the first for me is prayer. It's just, and I make it clear to people. I try to make it clear to people. I don't pray because I'm so spiritual. I pray because I need it. Because that is my, that's my fuel. That's what gets me going. And worship music, for someone that loves music as much as I do, I cannot sing to save my soul. But, I love all genres of music, but when it comes every morning, when I get in the shower, I wake up, my wife and I say prayer. I hop in the shower and I say, Alexa, play Maverick City Music or Stephen McWhorter or Iron Bell Music or whatever it is. And I'm driving to work. That's what gets me going. It's those two things really, really fill my cup. And I think it's important, you know, when you talked about as servant leaders pouring into ourselves, I thought of two things also, airplanes and gardens. You know, when you're flying on a plane, when you're flying on a plane, the flight attendants say, in case of emergency, put that mask on yourself first. Because we can't help others, you know? And, you know, I think sometimes people do it in with good intentions, but as martyrs almost, like, I don't have time to work out because I got to be there for my kids. Well, listen, your kids need to see you work out. Yeah. Your kids need you healthy when they're in their 20s, 30s, 50s. They want you around. So you need to pour into yourself first. So I think that for airplanes and the garden, and this is not gospel, this is just my interpretation of the gospel. When Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he took that time. He knew what was before him. He knew what his father had asked him to do. He knew more than any of us what was about to happen. But he needs to take that time for reflection, for prayer, for devotion. I think it's so important. None of us, no matter who we are, even with a young child, are too busy to make sure that we're not filling our cups so we can better serve others. And for those listeners that are servant leaders, if you want to be the greatest servant leader you can, make sure you're filling your own cup at the same time, because that, if not, we'll burn out. If not, we'll burn out. Best of hearts, best of intentions, and we won't be able to touch the lives that we've prayed for the opportunity to touch on a daily basis.
That's so good, first of all, okay? And through us with the airplane and garden analogy, and I love that. In my pocket it goes. But you know, he's a servant leader as well, Willie Spears, and he's been on a couple of times, and I remember a conversation we had, and we talked about like Kool-Aid, okay, or lemonade, tea, whatever requires you to mix it with water and some form of sugar, okay? Because I've mentioned that before, and they were like, well, I don't drink Kool-Aid. And I'm like, that's not the point. But of course, you know, like you turn, you drink it, right? You drink it, you keep drinking. But what happens when you get to the bottom? It's that gunk and the sugar has now settled to the bottom. And it's like, I don't want that cup. Like, it's not the same. And so that's what happens to us. Like you said before, as servant leaders, we always have good intentions, right? But if I don't stay stirred up through prayer, right? As my grandparents say, stir up the gift, right? If I don't stay stirred up, what's going to happen is all that good intention is going to start to settle. And I don't want to be that gunk and that grime that's intentional, but not the glass what anyone wants, right? Because when I'm serving, I want to come, we're lights, right? Let your light so shine so that they can glorify who, right? And so I don't want to show up in a way that individuals don't see Christ. And he not half-stepping when he comes, right? So if I'm a reflection of him, I want to come full strength. I want to come stirred up. I want to be the first glass of the Kool-Aid after we make sure it's sweet enough.
Amen. I love it. I love it.
For sure. So I'm like you, man. I could talk to you forever, right? But as we start to kind of close up and wind up, you know, servant leaders from all walks of life, the teacher, the coach, the principal, the pastor, right? The CEO, even, right? The doctor, I mean, God has blessed them all to be on here and continuous listeners. You know, coaches are all over recruiting. Football's getting ready for their season, you know, right? Yeah. All of those things, you know, we know that heavy is the head that wears the crown. Simply put, right? No matter who it belongs to, our name, right? Our name is on there and the head of that program or head of that building or company. And so in those moments, we know that the road does get tough, right? And we know that we're just trying to win, right? I want you to speak to the listener right now with the background of your book in mind on servant leadership, empowerment, and trusting God. I'm combining all three of those things. Servant leadership, empowerment, and trusting God. Give us a word real quick to just kind of, they can roll back to that 50-minute mark and say, I need to hear this one more time before I get out of my car.
Yeah.
I know that was power packed, but yeah, you know, when I listen to podcasts and YouTube videos, sometimes an Inky, you know, there's a moment of truth. And that's maybe I'm just gonna start calling this segment moment of truth. Yeah, there's a moment of truth that somebody wraps that thing up. And it's like, sometimes I'll go to the end of a podcast first.
Yep.
Just because I know it's there, you know, but just that moment of truth that that person sitting in their car right now is like, okay, he's almost done. I'm almost to the end before I walk into practice, right? Okay. Before I walk in the film room, right? Give them just that push they need.
Yeah. I'm going to just speak as if I'm speaking to your listeners, Coach. For anyone listening to this, and I don't know you. Most of your listeners probably haven't met at this point. But you've been created by greatness for greatness. And for me, that is everything. I know who I am. And more importantly, I know whose I am. The battle's been fought. The war has been won. We just need to make a conscious decision each and every day. Who are we serving? Because there's only... you're serving God or you're not. You cannot serve two masters. And I also want to share with you, with your audience, I, having coached for 26 plus 27 years now, I'm an expert in nothing. And I mean that passionately. I'm passionate about most things. And the reason I share that, Coach, is because I think way too often Satan will put on our hearts, as he did to me prior to writing the book, you're not good enough. You don't have the lineage. You don't have the heritage. You don't have the X, Y, or Z. Who are you to do this? We've been created for greatness by greatness. And if God puts something in your heart, walk through that door boldly and trust him that he knows what he's doing with our lives.
That's just so good. See what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, mind you, I'm out of shape, right? I shouldn't be, but my knee won't let me be great. But I feel like I can go play. They started women's basketball on Tuesdays here in Tallahassee. And I feel like I could go and like play the whole game on Tuesday. That's how I feel like. Here we go. I'm going to rewind this back just to this moment right here. And I'm going to play it. And I'm going to go play. And I'm going to let you know my numbers.
Yes, please. Please. Whatever it is, I guarantee you it's far greater than what I would have. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Coach, I love this. I love that. I love you. I love what you do. I am just so thankful that you are obedient, right? Obedience for me, that's a word that I continuously just continue to repeat to myself. It's my purpose, right? It's my push. I live to be pleasing. And so when I watch someone else do that and do it, honestly, I don't want to say effortlessly because I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, but just do it in a way that I know they're walking in their purpose. It just, man, I'm proud. I'm honored. I just literally just want to like reach through the computer and grab you.
I was just going to say that, Coach. I was like, I just want to give you a big hug and thank your husband for, and your daughter for sharing you with the world. God's working through you. He's working through all of us. For those of us that don't, you know,
amen.
I know we're wrapping up that whole ego thing, you know, edging God out. If we let go of our ego and we stop edging God out, you know, this world, regardless of politics or all that nonsense, this world is going to continue to be a beautiful place.
I love that. Coach, can you do me one more favor?
Absolutely.
Can you say a prayer as we close?
I'd love to. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, God, we love you so much. I thank you for Chelsea. I thank you for her heart. I thank you for her passion. I thank you for her accepting the calling to be a servant leader. God, we just ask that you will humble us so the world doesn't need to, overwhelm us so the world can't, and empower us so we can empower others. We thank you for this day. We ask you to help us to glorify you in all that we do. And I just want to thank you once again for Chelsea and her heart, and just pray these things humbly in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, we thank you guys for listening. Y'all, I can't say my favorite line because he's already servant leader, but I'm so thankful for him. But we thank you guys so much for listening. Coach, real quick before I forget, I know it's on Amazon, but let the listeners know how to find your book, and we're going to put it in the show notes.
Yes, thank you. It's on Amazon or my website, CoachKurtHines.com. It's KurtHines. It's called To Empower. And I would love it if anyone could get a copy. And if something in the book touches them in a way, just let me know, and I'd love to hear about it.
I love it, guys. We're going to attach those links, his socials, website, all to the show notes. So we thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to see you guys next time.